give you a few thoughts this morning. Mark chapter 10. Again, I appreciate the singing and the songs, and he's still there. He's still there. He ain't left. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That is right.
Keith, if y'all didn't help nobody, help me this morning. So I thank you. All right. All right. Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come just now, and I'm just glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad you have saved me and spoke peace to my heart. And the world's going to rage. The heathen's going to rage. Let them rage. Lord, you're great and wonderful, and I sure do appreciate you. I'm glad that you don't deal with me according to my iniquity, that you give me grace and mercy. Lord knows I need it this morning. And I pray this morning that you might help me. Lord, touch me fresh, cleanse me, give me power to preach as you want me to preach, and may you speak to every heart. May we listen. May we apply. Lord, I pray that I think of what Doug Holly said when he preached revival. Lord, preach me in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. May everyone that's listening listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit will direct that they will be response according to the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Today, in the day we're living, we talked a lot yesterday working, me and some of the men, and just about life and work and everything. You know, most people have a good wage nowadays when they work. You know, it's unthought of what some of the wages are that's paid for hourly employment now. What used to be, I remember when I was in the mines back in the 80s, top rate union pay was $15.35 an hour underground, top rate in the mines, and that was wonderful. Well, now top rate, what, $35 an hour or something? That's a big difference. People make $60 an hour, $80 an hour, $100 an hour. I've heard of some of them people that travel, some of them travel doctors, travel nurses, that they make just to sign the paper that they'll go somewhere. They give them $10,000 just to say they'll go, and they ain't even got there yet. I mean, that's pretty good wage, ain't it? But you know, people ain't happy. People ain't happy. Now, money, there ain't a thing wrong with money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, but money's good. And if you have some you don't like, give it to me. I'll take it. I mean, if you got something that's bothering you, all right? But money's good. And can I tell you that money in the right hands can do a lot of great things. Do you know that? I mean, even money in bad minds and bad hearts, but good hands can do a lot of good things. You understand? But it don't bring happiness. It don't bring joy. It don't bring peace. But it is good. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody understand that. But there's something missing in people's lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff. You know, we got more stuff. We got junk, but we got stuff. You know, I see advertisements for all these yard sales and garage sales. How does anybody gather at that much junk? Yeah, and what's beyond me is somebody goes buys it to add to their boxes of junk that they got in their building. Is that not true? I mean, what I see is it make good landfill stuff. That's just my opinion. I don't want to, of course, I can't have clutter in my house. If you don't nail it down, Cheryl throws it away. If you eat at my house, you better hold on to your plate. She'll take your plate out of your hand and wash it. I mean, she don't have no clutter at all. I mean, and that's true. I'll tell you this on her just to show you how she does. We was eating supper. Me and her and Bob DeWitt was eating supper, and I just kind of leaned back to get a breath, and she took my plate. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I thought you was dying. I'm just trying to breathe. That's all I've done." But we got stuff. Everybody's got stuff, don't they? I mean, we got, ain't nothing wrong with boats, ain't nothing wrong with cars, trucks, four-wheelers, motorcycles, mopeds, bicycles, station poles, shotguns, rifles. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with cows, chickens, pigs, ducks, sheep. Ain't nothing wrong with stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with stuff. Is that not true? Ain't nothing wrong with stuff. Talk to me. But you ain't happy. You ain't happy. How come you ain't happy? There's something missing it. There's something missing. Now, we've got big trucks, little trucks, big cars, little cars. We've got cars we only drive on Sundays. We've got cars we only drive when we dress up. We got some cars that are old and we cruise around. We got some that we'll just bark guitars off of them and lay a black streak. Huh? Some of them do it right in front of my house, don't they, Frank? Right there in front of me and Frank's house, they'll leave a black streak. You know, but you know what? There's something missing. There's something missing. As people run everywhere and vacation, ain't a thing wrong with vacation. Ain't a thing wrong with going all over the country. People see things that some will never see. But they ain't no joy. They're still not happy. Hey, we got kids hanging out the windows everywhere. Grandkids, you know. I had two boys, all right, got two boys. And I was blessed to have two boys. But now I got seven grandchildren, and I'm more blessed. Forget about the boys, I got them grandkids. Right? Anybody else like that?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Anybody else glad you got grandchildren? Huh? Now, my children are wonderful, but ain't you glad you got grandchildren? But how come we're not happy? How come there's something missing? There's something missing, and it's not that it's not attainable. It's not that it's out of reach. It's just that we don't maybe notice it. Sometimes we don't realize what we have till we lose it.
Yes, sir.
And then we look around and we live a life of regret. But some things we have that's attainable that we just don't want to grab hold of. This morning I want to give you a few thoughts this morning about something missing. Something missing. Look here in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Just give you a few thoughts this morning. We'll have a baptizing and, you know, we got family, we got friends, and I thought yesterday, you know, there's 30 some men down here working on the building. The ladies come and fixed a meal. We laughed, sarcasm. We made fun. I mean, we hollered, we laughed, we complained, we growled, we ached, and it was just good to be together yesterday. But then we come in this morning and we can't shout over the victory at Calvary. Yeah. You threw away more yesterday in your meals than some people will have all week to eat.
Amen.
You fed your chicken scraps that some people would love to have. But we don't shout over the victory of Calvary. Something may be missing. You think? Maybe something's misplaced. Maybe something ain't turned on. You know, sometimes Garth got all them control buttons up there, and they'll get a microphone, and sometimes they'll talk and ain't nothing coming out. Because there's a mute button pushed up there. Sometimes our mute button gets pushed. And we think something's missing when we got it. We got it. We've got it. But it ain't coming out. Sometimes there are just some things missing. Are you following me this morning? Let's look here in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. We'll start there. It said, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.'" Now, he wasn't saying that he wasn't good. He's asking, "Why come that man called him good? Do you believe I'm God?" That's what he's asking here. "Do you believe I'm him? Is that why? There ain't none good but God. Now you're coming to me saying, 'Good master, do you believe I'm him?'" Undoubtedly, that's who he thought, that's who he believed. Look at verse 19. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, when I read that, you know, there's so much in this little passage, so much things, and there's no way I can call all of it to your attention, but I want you to think about just a few things to start with this morning. Here comes a man coming to Jesus, and undoubtedly he's coming to him knowing that he's God. "Good master, good master." See, I don't really believe in atheists this morning. I don't believe in them. You'll get that in a minute. I don't believe it. See, you got to have a God to be an atheist. There has to be a God for you to say there ain't one. Because if there ain't one, why even say you're an atheist? You understand? You already have done slapped yourself in the face, all right? So I believe that we understand there's God. See, some come this morning because you believe there's a God. There's no doubt in your mind about that. You come, and it's just kind of second thought. You don't even think about it. You just come, and yeah, there's a God. I'm going to come, and I'm going to sing a few songs, and go home, and I'm going to do my Christian duty. I'm going to go to his house. You believe there's God. You believe that. This man come to Jesus, and he said, "What may I do? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What can I do?" And Jesus simply gives him the law. The Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster that'll bring us to Christ. The law is what shows us that we're a sinner. And Jesus used a simple law to show him that there was something missing in his life. Now, if you notice what he asked him first, he told him, he said, now, all the commandments that's listed there had nothing to do with the ruler and him. It was the ruler and others. See, a lot of times that's the only place our attention is. It's between us and somebody else. And long as we're hitting even kill on everybody else, then we think everything's all right. That everything's exactly the way it ought to be. As long as I'm getting along with my neighbors and getting along with my family, that's enough. That's enough. But Jesus is showing him that there's something missing. It ain't just getting along one with another. That there's something more important. Are you following me this morning? See, we come and we come to church and we can shake hands, and we didn't this morning. Maybe you stood with a couple and somebody spoke at you and welcomed you and what have you. And you get along, nobody thrown. I ain't seen no spitballs thrown or nothing this morning. And I ain't seen him. You might be slick about it like you was in school, but I'm not seeing nobody do nothing wrong. And I'm sure somebody would have hollered if they had done that. But you're getting along, I'm good. I've not got no speeding tickets this morning. Nobody's pulled me over in the parking lot with the state police, blue lights flashing or anything this morning, like has been done in the past. All all right? Nothing like that's happened, right? Everybody's good. And I'm good. And you come to church and you'll go home today and you'll say, I'm good. I've done everything that's expected of me. That's what this young ruler said. Jesus told him, he said, now you know you're not supposed to commit adultery, not supposed to kill, not supposed to steal, not supposed to bear false witness, defraud, not honor, not father, and I've done all that. I've done all that. Just like you. You've done it all. You're sitting there and looking pretty good this morning. Everything looks like, well, I've checked that off. I've checked that off. I'm good. I'm good. The reason I know we're good because we come Sunday after Sunday and leave the same way. Come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday, and we come in and leave the same way, and we're saying every time, I'm okay. I'm good. Our spiritual temperature don't go up. Our Christian life don't get no closer. We don't get no further, but we don't get no closer. We're just, even, I don't need anything. But when it comes down to it, there's something missing. There's something missing down on the inside. Something ain't quite right. We're not hitting. Somebody asked me yesterday, we was out there and said, how you feeling, preacher? I said, well, I'm not hitting on all eight cylinders today. There are some days I'm not hitting on all eight cylinders. Some days I limp a little bit more than other days. Some days I'm bent over a little bit more than other days. Some days they need to be a little bit more pain pills than other days, huh? Right? But normally I'll tell you I'm all right. Is that not true? Huh? Huh? I can take a mouthful of pills and say, how you doing, Brian? I'm okay. I'm okay. You know what I say? Yeah. That's what you say when I preach on Sunday. Yeah. That's what you say when I preach on Wednesday. When I teach in Colossians chapter 3 on Wednesday, that's what you say. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm getting by. No, there's something missing. See, there was a time that there was a fire burned bright in your heart. You're a believer and you trusted Christ. And there was a time that the fire burned so bright that you were so excited. Yeah. Now, the fire's not gone. Right. What is the old song the Prince of Cortez used to sing? The flame flickered, but the fire ain't never went out. That's good. But can I tell you, there's something missing. There's something missing. Something ain't quite right. See, when it come down to this ruler, he said, now I've done all that. Now I've not committed adultery. I've not killed nobody here lately or nothing, see? I ain't stole nothing. I ain't lied on nobody. I ain't cheated nobody. I've been making sure that I respect mom and dad. I'm doing exactly right. And he said, but there's something lacking. There's something lacking. Let me ask you this morning, what's lacking? You know what's lacking. You know what's missing this morning. I don't have to tell you. You know what's missing this morning. See, there was a time when it was joy, unspeakable and full of glory, but it ain't now. What's missing? What happened? What happened? Huh? Who threw a bucket of ice water on you? Huh? Who killed you to the bone? What happened? We got faith sung it this morning that I can rejoice in the victory of Calvary, that God come down and put on a robe of flesh and hung and bled and died on Calvary's cross and give me victory today. I've got victory today in Christ. But is there something missing? Is there something missing? Where is the joy? Where is the peace? Where is the things that's supposed to be burning in my heart? Where is the growth in grace and knowledge? Where is that peace that passeth all understanding? Where is that steadfastness of a Christian? I'm asking you this morning, is there something missing? Is there something missing? Now look at me and do this. Yes. There's something missing. Huh? I'm serious. See, you'll never understand. See, this young ruler, when Jesus told him, "One thing thou lackest." One thing. He didn't tell him a lot of things. He said, "The one thing that's lacking." Now let's talk about our relationship. The relationship with everybody else might be making it pretty well. But one thing thou lackest. Go give all your stuff away. Go ahead and give it away because it don't mean anything. But pick up the cross and follow me. Pick up the cross and follow me. Nah, I ain't going to do that. And he walked away saddened because he was more interested in all this instead of this. So I'm afraid anymore we've got our mind on all this instead of this. We're living for all this. There's nothing wrong with all this. There's nothing wrong with it. All this have I done for my youth. That's what he said. Since I was a little guy, I've done it all. I made sure all this was right. But something's missing here. See, I believe this morning that that's the problem with the majority, that there's something missing right here. What's missing in your heart this morning? What's missing in your life? See, for some, it's just Jesus all the way around. See, we don't realize how important it is. Turn over to Exodus, if you would. Exodus chapter 12. And when we think about Jesus and we think about what's necessary, can I tell you this morning that what the most important thing that you can ever have, and that's the blood of Christ applied to your life. For nothing can wash away your sin but the blood of Jesus. All the good works, you can't do enough good works to save you. There's no, it's not possible. And you can't be good enough because you don't want to be good enough. And the Bible says, "It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But it's the blood of Christ that matters. But I'm afraid it is missing. See, in Exodus chapter 12, we go back and we see a good example and a type of Christ and salvation. When the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and it was time to be freed, and there was only one way they was going to be free. Only one way to be free from bondage. And that was going to have to be by the applied blood. Not the shed blood, listen to me, but the applied blood. Christ died on Calvary. Look at me this morning. Christ died on Calvary for every man, woman, boy, and girl. But every man, woman, boy, and girl is not saved. His blood was shed for the world for all time. But everybody's not saved. Why? Because him dying is not what saved. It's the receiving Christ that died. It's what saves. Are you following me? It's the applied blood, not just the shed blood. Let's read a minute in Exodus chapter 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." I'm going to stop right there and let you know that you're going to have a lamb. You're going to have a lamb. John said when Jesus come to the river Jordan, when he was baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. You're going to have a lamb. You're going to have an innocent substitute this morning, and the only one is Christ. Amen. It says, "Every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb." It ain't just any lamb. It ain't just, you don't just need a lamb. You need the lamb. You need the Christ, the Son of God. You need God in the flesh who suffered, bled, and died for your sins. Are you hearing me this morning? You need Jesus this morning. You need Him. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. And look at verse 5. Your lamb. See, he's a lamb. He becomes the lamb. But neighbor, what you need is your lamb. You need him yourself. And that's where something's missing. Something's missing because everybody don't have Christ. You've got the works down. You've got the way to live down. You've got the good neighbor down. You've got the good employee down. But you don't have Christ. And without Christ, you're lost. Something's missing. You're lost. You need Jesus. You say, well, what does all that mean? It goes on and says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year, and you'll take it out from the sheep or from the goats. It says in verse 7, they shall take of the blood. Let's read verse 6. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, side posts, on the upper door post, wherein they shall eat it. They got to apply. The shed blood wasn't enough. Killing a lamb wasn't enough. Had to apply the blood. Are you listening to me? Everybody said, oh, God's the God of love. And God died for everybody. Everybody's okay. Everybody ain't okay. There's something missing in some of your lives this morning. The blood ain't applied. The blood ain't applied. Huh? Look what happened. Up down to verse 13. Verse 12 and 13, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see how good you are to your neighbor. Not when I see how good you are in charity and how all the good things you're doing. No, but when I see the blood, the applied blood. Something missing from people's lives this morning. They've got the works down, but they don't have the applied blood of the Lamb of God. Are you listening to me this morning? It says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. You got that? Now let's drop down to verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead other than the ones who put the blood on the doorpost. Something was missing from them people's house. The blood was missing. Look at me this morning. Is the blood applied to the doors of your heart this morning? Have you received Christ that He's washed you in His blood? Have you applied the blood of the slain lamb this morning? Have you received Christ? Or something missing? Is something missing this morning? See, there ain't nothing wrong with being good. You ought to be good. Everybody ought to be good one to another. Ain't no call for anybody being evil toward one another. Ain't no call for being sour toward one another. Ain't no call for anybody being mean talking to anybody. Ain't no call for that. But that don't save you. There's something missing. Are you listening to me? There's something missing. What's missing? You know. You know this morning. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Yes. Have you been born? Have you received Christ? Has He washed you? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Yeah. Right? Then we sing the song, are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless, or are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you? Or is there something missing? See, there's more to it than that. You say, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. But can I tell you that still many don't have no peace? Something's missing. Look over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Sometimes it's just peace with the Father that there's a problem. See, sometimes it's the blood of Christ that's missing. See, for some of you this morning, I don't have a doubt that there'll be some in a congregation this size that don't have the blood applied. I don't have a doubt that there's somebody. You say, well, you know me, I don't know you. I don't know your heart. But I believe in this many, I believe that there's somebody here this morning that does not have the blood applied to their heart. You may be good. You may be a good neighbor, a good husband, good wife, good child, a good father, good mother, good employee. But you're lost. Lost. Because you don't have Christ. You've said maybe you have Christ. You may even have been baptized and say you got Christ. Maybe belong to a church and say, yeah, I got Christ. But you've truly never been born again. Because there ain't never been no change in your heart. There been no change. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There has to be a change. No change, no salvation. I'm sorry. Huh? Think about it. Something missing. Something's missing. Something was missing with the ruler. Something was missing on the doorpost of them people in Egypt. And can I tell you, I read here about a son. Chapter 15 of Luke, starting verse 11, says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Divided unto him he's living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and began to be in want. Wait a minute. I thought he had it all. Thought he had it all. And he went and joined himself to the city of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Uh-oh, something's missing. Something's missing. I ain't at Dad's house. Me and Dad ain't got fellowship. Me and the Father ain't getting along. Listen, I'm down here, and the service has got better than me, and I'm a son. I ain't got nothing. Something's missing. Something's missing. Yeah. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. See, something's missing, Father. Something's missing. See, there was a time that I sat at your table. There was a time I sat there with the family. There was a time there was no problem. But now, I ain't where I'm supposed to be. Something's missing. Something's missing. I'm asking you this morning, is there something missing? Yeah, preacher, listen to me. Now, I'm saved now. No, don't tell me all that. I believe I'm saved. How are you and the Father getting along? How are you and the Father getting along? Is there something missing? Is there something missing? Huh? Me and Marcus, of course, Philip, you know, he can't talk to me normal on the phone. But me and Marcus talk. We talk most every day. Try to talk every day. I'll call him. He'll call me. Maybe we don't get in touch. And I'll call him. Sometimes I've called him two or three times. And he'll answer me. You know what he says? Sorry, Dad. I couldn't talk to you. Now, he didn't do nothing to me. Are you following me? It wasn't no big thing. He hadn't changed his birth certificate, hadn't went out and got another name or nothing. You know what? It just went, when I called him, he didn't answer. But the first thing he always says, sorry, Dad, I couldn't talk to you right now. As far as he was concerned, something was missing. Are you following me this morning? See, you don't have to go out and be like the world. You don't have to go out and get another name and act like you're not a Christian. Sometimes it's just a relationship between you and the Father that ain't like it ought to be when the Father calls. But the first response ought to be, hey, Dad, I'm sorry. I couldn't talk to you. You know why? Because Marcus always feels like there's something missing. Are you following me this morning? Is there something missing? I'm asking you, is there something missing? You know how you and the Lord used to be. You know how you used to talk. You know how you used to fellowship. Huh? Man, I would have a sorry life if I only fellowship with the Lord on Sunday. I'd have a sorry life. Is that the only time you fellowship? Huh? Do you ever talk to him? Do you ever just sit and talk to him? I sat out there on the porch this morning, me and the dog. I was sitting there and that pup wanted up in my lap. He laid asleep and I'm out there 6 o'clock this morning sitting on the back porch drinking a cup of coffee and I just go ahead and talk to him. We had a pretty good time out there on the porch this morning. I didn't have my suit on. Do you realize that I'm the preacher and I can talk to the Lord without a suit on? Did you realize that? Do you realize that sometimes I'm just old Mark. That if you don't say that I ain't the preacher, but that's not true. I'm always the preacher. But I'm always his son. Do you have to wait to Sunday to fellowship? May I ask you, did he speak to you this week? Did the Lord speak to you? Well, he didn't speak to me. Well, you didn't read his word. Did you read his word? Have you read his word this week? If you didn't read his word, he didn't speak to you. See, me praying, me talking to him, him talking to me is that word. Now listen, you eat a lot of onions, go to bed with a lot of onions, hot peppers. Now you may hear a lot of things during your sleep. You may even see some blurry vision. It's called indigestion. It's not spirit filled. Yeah. It may just be gas. I'm afraid that's what some of our spirituality is. You understand? Because it passes awful quick. Are you listening to me this morning? I don't know how to be just plain. Huh? We all right? I will arise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his Father. When he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wasn't nothing missing now. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. See, when there's something missing, you got to go get what's missing. See, there was something missing on the doorpost and they had to slay the lamb and apply the blood and it was no longer missing. The young ruler had an opportunity. He could have give everything away and picked up the cross and followed Jesus, but he wouldn't. See, there's a choice this morning. There's a choice for me and you. The young ruler had the choice. The people there in Egypt had a choice. I would venture to say that every Israelite did not put blood on the door. But wherever there wasn't no blood, because something was missing, death came. This boy had something missing in the relationship with his father. I'll give you one more this morning. Sometimes our fellowship, it's not just a relationship that's in danger. Sometimes our fellowship gets a little bit out. Are you listening to me? Something's missing. Turn to John chapter 20. Give me another thought here and we'll quit. John chapter 20 verse 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week," now this is concerning Jesus and his he's been resurrected from the grave. He's going to meet with these disciples. Everybody look at me this morning. Christ is arose. Everybody look at me. Christ is risen this morning. He's alive and well. He's not on the cross this morning. But I'm looking back at the cross. I'm looking back at victory. It's finished at the cross. He's alive and well. We okay? Lift up your head. He's alive. You hang your head when he died. Lift it up. He's risen. He's risen. And he meets with these disciples. The risen Savior meets with his disciples. Are you listening to me? The risen Savior meets with his disciples. He said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Ain't that wonderful? Huh? Do you know when you gather up with the children of God together, he comes in and says, "Peace." There's peace in the fellowship of God's people. Look at me this morning. There's peace in the fellowship of God's people with Jesus Christ. Huh? Look at verse 20. "And when he had said so," or "when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Maybe that's why we ain't glad on Sunday. Maybe that's why, let me say it again because you didn't hear it. Maybe that's why we ain't glad on Sunday. This is the first day of the week. Today's the first day. Maybe the reason we ain't glad is because we don't see Jesus. Well, when they saw him, they was glad. I'm just trying to put two and two together here. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Huh? Amen. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, and my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But look at verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Ain't that a sad verse? Ain't that a sad verse? Can we read that verse again? "But Thomas, one of the 12," he was one of them. He was a believer. He was one of them. "But he was not with them when Jesus came." See, sometimes what's missing is you. Sometimes you miss out because you ain't here. Do you know this morning that there's not nobody, we go across every row. Sheriff, we start with you. Do you have any problems? You got any things that bother you? Huh? You got any burdens, anything? Huh? Was that normal? Is it always like that? Seem like you always got burdens and troubles, don't it? Every day. Huh? Well, I wouldn't come to church. Best thing for you to do is not come. Because as sure as you do, you'll see Jesus. And he'll say peace. Now, I know that was really smart of you. But can I tell you this morning, listen to me. There's not a person in here, and there's not a person listening on live stream. There's not one who'll listen to the website later on today that has not got full of problems and trials and things that's overwhelming in life. And what we need most of all is Jesus. But He's missing. And we're missing it out. Do you realize that 9 out of 10 times that there's something in a church service that's there just to help you through the very problem you're going through that day? But if you miss, you miss the help that was offered. And something's missing. And you go another whole week. Another whole week carrying the same old baggage and the same old load. And then you miss again. And then the load multiplies. And then you miss again. And before long you find yourself out. You're like the old story. It's been told thousands of times about the preacher who went to the man and quit coming to church. And they were sitting there by the fireplace just talking about things, and the preacher got the shovel out and got a red coal and set it over on the hearth by itself, didn't say a thing, just kept talking. A little while, that red coal just started getting darker and darker and darker, and that man sitting there by the fire looking at it, looked at the preacher. The preacher never mentioned it. Finally, he got ready, said, "Well, I got to go." And he said, "I just thought I'd tell you." He said, "You're like that coal." He said, "Out of the fire, you're going to get cold." And he took it and he pitched it back in the fire and it lit right back up. He said, "That's what's needing." He left. Can I tell you this morning, there's something missing when you miss the house of God. There's something missing when you miss the presence of the Lord, that the Lord comes and you need to see Jesus this morning. You need the Lord. Listen, your problems are bigger than you can handle. Look at me. You can't handle your problems. You can't handle one of them. You multiply them and you're already overwhelmed. You can't fix not one of them. You're the one that caused it. Huh? You're the one that's got it in you. You're going to have to let the Lord have it this morning. Next time Jesus showed up, Thomas was there. And he said, "Well, you want to touch my hands? You want to run your hand?" "No, my Lord and my God." He understood right quick. Can I tell you this morning? Hey, you cannot tell me. You can't tell me if you're right with God that when you come to church, you leave worse than you was when you come. If you're right with God when you get here, you're not going to leave worse. You're going to leave better. If you're leaving worse, then you got a bigger problem than you thought you had. But I'm afraid something's missing. I'm afraid this morning something's missing. Now, you tell me. Y'all know I cook. I like to cook. I like to cook about anything. Sometimes I'll taste it and I say, something ain't right. "Hey, Cheryl, come here a minute. Taste this. I think something's missing." Before she ever tasted it, "Would you do this? You do that?" I said, "Just taste it. Just taste it. Don't worry about what I put in it. Just taste it." She'll taste it. She'll look at me and she'll say, "Yeah, something's missing. Then I go through my mind. I start thinking about everything that I put in that pot. I go through every ingredient. I need just a little bit of this. Normally, it's salt or sugar. Normally. Salt, when it loses savor, ain't much count. Sometimes you got to add a little salt to get the flavor in there. Sometimes you need that sweetness. It's hard for me to cook without sugar. I like to put sugar in anything. Everything. But I add a little bit. I said, now taste it. And I'll watch your eyes and shake. You know that when I add the sugar to what I'm fixing, it makes others smile too. Something's missing, I believe. You tell me this morning what's missing. Are you saved this morning? Go to Anna, Cheryl. Are you saved this morning? You tell me, when did it happen? You tell me when it happened. When did your change come? You tell me. Huh? I know when my change came. I know when I was saved. Now, I'm not going to criticize you if you don't know the date or the hour. I'm not going to criticize that. No, because some people don't know what day it is today. You know? But yet you know you're here today. Is there a time in your life? Listen to me now. Is there a time in your life that you know that you repented of your sins and self, that you received Christ, that you know He saved you? You know that. If you don't know that, there's something missing. You need Jesus. It ain't gonna matter anything else you do in life. Nothing will ever fix that. Nothing. Until you receive Jesus Christ yourself. Trust on Him. Trust Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to matter. Nothing's going to matter. You understand that this morning? You can give all your fortune. You can do good. You can have a big epitaph put on your tombstone about all the great things you've done. But if you've never received Christ, to hell you'll go. That's it. You're saved. See, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Then what's missing? What's missing in your mind, in your heart? What's missing in your life? Because something ain't working somewhere. Christ ain't changed. I am the Lord, I change not. He said, Jesus Christ is saved yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. His salvation don't change. It's still eternal. It's still clean. He forgives all. What's changed? Something's missing. Is it that relationship with you and the Father? Is something missing? You're missing out on the house of God and the help that's offered this morning. There's help here today. You're a Christian. You can find help around this altar if you'll swallow a little bit of your pride. Come down and kneel on your face before God. I'm sorry for my sins. Help me now. I got to have help to get through today. Here's my problem. Got a problem with my tongue. Cut it off. Got a problem with my anger. Throw some water on me. Huh? You don't have a problem like that? And I tell the Lord to cut my tongue off all the time. Anger. I bow fist like a rabid dog. Huh? I know what anger is. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Can't just carry it. You gotta get shut up. Huh? Is there, what is the song they sing, you nail it to the cross? Is there something in your heart has got you away from God, and there's something missing now? The joy and the peace and the happiness ain't there no more. Won't you come this morning? Won't you let the Lord help you today? Well, let him save you today. That'd be the greatest thing. You say, well, preacher, I am saved. Then won't you let him put that coal back in that fire and get some joy in your heart this morning? Like it ought to be. Let's stand together. You come, Father. Speak to every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name.